September 9, 2020, it's a Watch from Pedro show.
Long neck until the main. Run, pony, run away. tongue strangled.
Back to the ears of the
the pony who wanders to conquer his fears.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. A lot of smoke in the air here, but it's worse for the people with the flames. Yeah, it's a intense September, top of everything else. We start off the show with Out of This World, the last part of it, live in Seattle, John Coltrane. I think there was two bass players. Anyway, after that was Yellow Seed by Eyes. And Brother Matt out his... Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point here. We're Quentin Quarantino mode still, but I am not totally man alone because, dude, the software engineers in Estonia with their incredible Skype software, I got Ice with me.
Welcome
aboard. And
thanks for having me.
And where are you talking to us from?
I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee, United States of America.
You know, we just lost a great musician from Knoxville.
Who?
Mr. Simeon Cox of Silver Apples.
Dang, R.I.P.
Yeah, now this was a guy, a drummer man named Danny, two-man band. It's 1968. I mean, they're using electronics, right? They're way ahead of their time in their time. And
I got to check that out.
Yeah, please check out Silver Apples because it seems like you're kind of into electronic. Well, music in general. In fact, I want to ask. I want to get into your story. About music? What's your earliest musical recollection, please?
Oh my God. Probably at the church. I used to go to daycare at this little Baptist church down the street, and they made us do this like Christmas performance, and I was like three. And I remember mom dressed me up like a little baby doll, and we had to go. They shepherded all the kids out there on the stage and made us all sing Christmas carols to our parents. I think that was my first stage performance.
Okay, your first gig. And this is Knoxville?
Yeah, Knoxville.
Okay. I think first time I played there was that deli. Jim and one of the guys just passed away.
Sam and Andy's deli?
It wasn't Sam and Andy, but it was two dudes.
Okay.
Vic and Bills. I'm always forgetting their fucking names. You know, the guy I did the last 2 years of Stooges gigs with, the drummer man, was Larry Mullins, and he's a Knoxville guy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that's why I wanted you on the show, so I could enlighten you to that fact.
Thank you. That's why there's so many Stooges fans in Knoxville.
That's right. He ran off to Hollywood with the doorman. The doorman was a guy they call Bonehead. Anyway, let's get back to your story. In the pad you grew up there, was there musical instruments?
No. I mean, I'm like the freak of the family, and nobody really plays anything. But my parents did give me some like little toy Casio when I was like a baby. So there was like a little pink Casio with like round buttons instead of keys that I had in my bedroom. So they upgraded me when I was about 10, and I had an actual real keyboard, and I used to write little love pop songs in my room on that thing.
Yeah. Now were they listeners? Did they have record collection?
No.
Okay.
My dad had an 8-track. He had, like, In the God of the Vita, and my mom loved, like, Amy Grant and Christmas music, so I was pretty deprived. I, like, I mean, most of the music I was around was like church music, like Southern Baptist music. And honestly, like when I was like 10 and I wanted to start listening to like dance music or rap, they wouldn't let me. I was like prohibited to watch MTV. So I was pretty shielded from music in general.
Well, Ice, what about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Yeah, all of it. I started playing clarinet and when I was 11, and I did like the orchestral club, I guess, through middle school. And in high school, I did marching band, and I was pretty lame but pretty awesome. We did like Outkast songs and like the rap group Outkast songs and the marching band, so that was pretty lit. But yeah, I did choir, yeah, all the music.
So Outkast, yeah, they're Atlanta guys. That big song, right? So
yeah, man.
And what I was thinking of is Outkast, Atlanta band. And what was their big tune?
Hey Ya.
That's right.
We did like me and you, your mama and your cousin too. I don't know. I went to like an inner city high school, so there's a diverse group of students, and we had a black band teacher that. And he loved like hip hop and R&B, and so he made us like integrate a lot of that into our marching band performances.
Now, did you do the thing like after school with the somebody's garage band or basement band, bedroom band, that kind of thing?
No, I tried. I mean, I would play with my friend. She played trumpet in her shed, and I'd bring my clarinet. Her parents wouldn't let her play in the house, but no, I didn't have an after-school band. I didn't start really playing outside of school till after I graduated, and I was in this band, all-girl band called Trapper Keeper, and it was four girls, and it was like pop, punk. It was like a cross between like Peaches and Gravy Train and Basement Jacks. We were really obnoxious. We would throw like condoms and Spanish flies out in the audience and lip gloss.
And what did you play? Clarinet?
Yeah, I played clarinet. That's like the only thing I knew how to play, which didn't really fit in with the vibe. And
no, but it's kind of unique. It's kind of unique.
Yeah, well, later on I played. I only did a couple gigs with them because then I ended up moving to Florida. But I later played like the Dr. Sampler and the Dr. Groove in that band. And that was like the first time I played electronics. That was about 2001.
Okay, I want to play Troll.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
Oh, No. te sens en chevauchant, mais je préférais un verre de vin. Je te sens chevauchant, mais je préférais une cigarette. Je te sens en chevauchant, mais je préférais un verre de vin. Je te sens en chevauchant, mais je préférais une cigarette. Dégage, je te sens en chevauchant, mais je préférais un verre de vin. Je te sens en chevauchant, mais je préférais une cigarette. Je te sens en chevauchant, mais je préférais un verre de vin. Je te sens en chevauchant, mais je préférais une cigarette. Je te sens, je te sens, je te sens en chevauchant. Je te sens ta sueur. Je te sens en chevauchant, mais je suis pas là, pas avec toi. Non, je suis pas là, je suis ailleurs. Je préfère dans mon verre de vin. Je te sens en chevauchant. Je te sens en chevauchant. Je te sens en chevauchant. Je te sens en chevauchant.
Dozen crows lower down. It's like they know when you're around. It's like they know all that's at stake, and there is no use in making me wait.
watch already.
Made of dirt, I am made of dust.
dirt, made of dust. I am made of dirt. I am made of dust, made of dirt, made of dust. I am made of dirt. I am made of dust, made of dirt, made of dust. I am made of dirt. I am made of dust, made of dirt, made of dust. I am made of dirt. I am made of dust, made of dirt, made of dust. I am made of dirt. I am made of dust, made of dirt, made of dust. I am made of dirt. I am made of dust, made of dirt, made of dust. I am made of dirt. I am made of dust, 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 dust.
Pedro Show, Troll, with, well, from Ice, I should say. And then Tobacco, Mr. Tom, he's got a new album coming out, Halloween. Hot, Wet, and Sassy, and this is Centaur Skin. Aunt Sally after that from, or Aunt Sally, it should be.
Aunt.
Yeah. Well, in Japan, they probably, you know, what's
Spanish? That's
true. Tia in Spanish. Zia in Italiano. But anyway, All for Sale, that's Few. She's got a new album out, too. His Name is Alive, Late Night Version. I think that's new. Black Lodge after that, Castle to Castle. Yeah, some Disciples stuff here. Will Johnson did brand new out of Austin with Los Cueros. The Crows? Not the Tequila. And then his buddy, Thor Harrison, Rob Halverson. After that with You Got That Thing Started, and this is brand new, and then Dust from Ice. What part of Florida? Because, you know, Florida's bent, so it ain't as big as people think. When you're touring it, though, it's almost California size.
I love Florida. I was in Pensacola, lower Alabama.
Right.
For a year.
They call that the Panhandle. I got stuck in a hurricane there. I drove through it.
Oh, my God. The house I lived in was, destroyed 6 months after I left from a hurricane. So I left in the nick of time.
Well, during that time you were there, was there a club named Sluggos?
Yeah. Actually, it was a...
Well, there were several versions of Sluggos. Oh, I think I lost you again, though. Hold
on. I was pretty bored for a year.
Now, before Sluggos, there was a club called the Night Owl Bottle Club. Are you aware of that place?
No.
Okay. You know, Watt's been touring for 40 years, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to know. I do know that the Naval Air Flight School is there.
It is there, yes. I mean, you might see some weird UFO-looking things at night on the beach.
That's right. But it's neat, man. All over the country's neat. Everything's got its own special stuff. But when you were there, did you put together any of your own bands, or did you join any other people's bands?
I tried to be in a band. It was unsuccessful. Well, it was short-lived. We were called, a Crunk Crusade. It was ignorant music. But it was cool. It was, live drums. We had a electronics or a sampler and Dr. Groove. I think I probably tried to play the clarinet again. Again, that didn't fit in. And we had a rapper and a guitar player, and we practiced a few times, but the house I lived in was haunted. And, I think the ghost disrupted that band.
And this is the pad that got destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you had no bass player.
We had the electronic bass inside the machines.
Oh, yes. Okay. Okay. So maybe that's better. Less complaints.
Yeah.
Because you need something there, that poor lonely kick drum, you know. Somebody's.
Oh, yeah. We have some subwoofers going. Don't worry.
You know, I think there was a band from there called My Bike is a Pipe Bomb.
Yes, there is, and I had that sticker on my bicycle, and I would take it on the train in St. Louis, and people would look at me sideways.
Yeah, well, I was wondering about how they got across the border when they toured.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that could be done now.
Spotsky, guy who used to mix our old SST records, he knew those people. he had some kind of connection. There was a good core of people out of the Slogo people I knew for a long time, but because of my Alzheimer's, I can't remember anybody now. It's terrible. But
yeah, there was a weird scene there for sure.
Yeah. So what happened to you after that?
Well, Florida's dead. There's like nothing to do there, and so I wanted to go to architecture school. So I ended up moving to St. Louis, and I was there for over 14 years, and I just moved back to Knoxville in summer of 2018. But yeah, I was in St. Louis forever, doing most of the music I did took place there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a Frank Lloyd Wright house there.
There is, and I've been there a couple times.
I know at least one in Hollywood.
And uh-huh.
It's kind of falling apart because he liked to make the stuff out of the stuff that was around. It was limestone, and the rain is dissolving it.
It's returning back to earth.
Yeah, that's it. And so, but how far did you take your architecture thing?
All the way, baby.
Okay.
I went through school. I've worked in firms for 15 years. I still work in a firm right now, and I'm working on taking my test so I can get my license, practice solo. Hopefully I'll have that the end of the year, beginning of next year. So I'm doing architecture and music and art all together and trying to figure out a way to sort of integrate them all together.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, do you think it bears on your music?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was thinking about it, I was like, they're actually really related. I mean, because now I'm mostly doing electronic music and both music and architecture, it's like you're dividing holes into smaller pieces and finding like a balance between things and, you know, like a dimensioning, you know, like a ruler is kind of like a musical measure, you know, things can be divided.
You're talking like a bar of music. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, just like the way things are organized to find like a nice balance. I could see the correlation between architecture and writing music.
Do you know the famous Charles Mingus quote?
No.
Somebody asked him about writing about music. And he said, writing about music is trying to like dance around architecture.
Dance around architecture.
That's what he said. Something like that. Yeah.
I want to build clubs and places. Like, I'm obsessed with, like, club environments and creating the perfect club situation and scenario. So I think, you know, that's my future, is exploring sort of these, like, communal spaces and music rooms and studios and places to experience music and shows.
You know, we had a place in West Hollywood in the old days called the Starwood. And it had a lot of different little rooms.
Uh-huh.
And versus the idea of, like, just the one big, you know, box.
Yeah.
Where there's no mystery. You know, from the hatch, you can see the stage. I mean, there's, like, no mystery. Versus this idea. Yeah, like, kind of catacomb, labyrinth.
Yeah. There was the best club ever been to was in Knoxville. It's called the Underground, and that was like a late 90s, early 2000s, and I was really young then, but under the Underground was a boiler room, and it was the basement, and that one was open till like 3 to 6 a.m., and they play like hard techno down there, but it was like there was lots of little rooms, and the ceilings were low, and it was like basically pitch black and like foggy, and it was amazing. It was like being in like The Matrix or Blade or something. Blade the movie.
Okay.
It was scary. Yeah. I was like, am I going to die tonight?
Like no way out if there's a fire?
Yeah, basically. It was probably not safe.
What's it called? The ghost ship?
No, not the ghost ship.
Something in the...
Oh, yeah. That's the one that... Yeah, that's
right,
the one that...
in the East Bay, right?
Yeah.
That was very sad.
That's the problem. Like, a lot of people in... there's a lot of DIY shows... And St. Louis and these abandoned houses or like abandoned buildings. And I'm like, as an architect, I don't feel comfortable in here. You know, like the stairs are partially missing or there's like giant holes in the floor. People could just step through and yeah, that's why there's a building code.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah. And you feel as an architect, you'd like to push those codes? No, you want things safe, yeah.
Well, yeah, you want things safe, but you can experiment within the constraints.
What about acoustics?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've played some pads, they're half glass. I mean, right? Terrible.
Yeah, I've been in some, like, really ringy rooms where it's, like, all concrete or brick. Especially in St. Louis, it's, like, hard and ringy. I'm, like, deaf when I leave. You definitely need some softer walls, or if it's not a perfectly symmetrical room, that helps. But, yeah, I learned in school from an acoustical engineer, and she gave me some tips.
So part of your architecture training was acoustics. Yeah, that's great.
Yes, yeah, it was included.
Yeah, because especially if we're talking music, it's not just on the side. That's kind of a major component. In fact, there's nothing like a pad that sounds good.
I know. There was a project I was working on in St. Louis, but then I moved, but this guy wanted to build like a live reverb room in his studio. I was sad I had to leave that because I didn't even know what that meant. Like, it's basically you don't use reverb effects. The room is the reverb, but it was supposedly built in a special way. But I'll never know how that works.
Oh, no, some of that stuff goes back to the Greeks in the way.
Yeah.
You know, I was with the Stooges in Athens, and I went to the Acropolis and the shit. And one of the amphitheaters there, or whatever, places, it's in stereo, somehow, with no electronics.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. That's amazing. I like this idea of you mixing disciplines. You know, in the old days of the movement, you had a lot of people from different areas because it was such a weird kind of trip, you know? The regular rock and roll people didn't like it. So you had people from all kinds of other things in the world get involved in music that maybe weren't, quote, supposed to.
Yeah. I'm definitely a freak of, you know, like I've not met any other musician in architecture. Most people that are architects are just architects. I mean, I had to abandon music while I was in school just so I could like focus on learning it. So I feel like I'm kind of a late bloomer with music, but yeah, I love the idea of crossing them together and with art, like there and looking back to ancient times because they knew how to do it, reading older texts and learning what they learned. A lot of that is lost or not really taught in modern day schools.
What do you think of Frank Gehry?
He's cool. I love that. It's unconventional.
He designed one of his first works was here in Pedro. I live in the harbor of Los Angeles, and we got the Cabrillo Beach Marine Aquarium. And he was no straight lines.
I've seen the Disney amphitheater in L.A. when it was under construction a long time ago, like 20 years ago.
I got to play there, Glenn Branca's Symphony No. 13, Hallucination City, and I was one of 20 bass players, 64 guitarists, and one drummer.
Oh, my God. Wait, everybody's playing at once?
Oh, yeah, it was quite a piece. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, September 9, 2020. Dishawat Peter Show, special guest, Ice. Hold tight for hour two. September 9, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
I change trains in a trance. Live in little rooms. I'm all at odds. And you think I'm just a lazy bum. You've swallowed all my the gentle breeze, you're all undone, and I think you're working way too hard. Well, I've burned up all my goddamn bridges.
Thank you. Thank you. casa.
Ojalá que me acorde.
Ojalá.
Ojalá que me acorde.
Aportar a bordo de mí, pues si es que no me puedo cantar.
Deixa-me que vou depressa, que vou abrir uma porta, que já tenho encharcada, ai no coração de uma mota. No coração de uma mota.
For Pedro Show, we start off the second hour with Transcendental Trunk Rattler from Ice. And then Sam Bennett over in Tokyo doing All Undone. Burnham guy, home of Sun Ra people. Samuel Locke Ward after that with Inspirational Sports. Go Vols.
Right, go Vols.
Right there, Vols, right? A lot of orange.
A lot of orange. Orange!
My memories. Yeah. God, Camp Childers. There was a band there in the old days, a hardcore band called Honor Roll. And you might have been in other parts.
Maybe.
Florida parts of the time. Bullets or Balloons after that from Spokanistan. Six is one. Half a dozen is the other. Peter Kowald, Damon Smith, some stand-up bass players with Reflections on April 28th. I guess Reflection number 7. And finally, Rodeo Disco. Ice.
Now,
when you do Ice, do you slip into a persona? But it sounds like you're integrated. You don't have split personality. You kind of alluded to that with the architecture thing. But it sounds like you got them pretty together.
Yeah, I try to just be myself. I don't really put on another person, another hat. I mean, I do when I'm in the firm during the day, I gotta be professional, and wear my business attire. But, slowly my freak flag starts to show. But yeah, when I do music, it's just me. I might get a little more rowdy, but yeah, I don't like I'm not like putting on a character, I guess.
Well, what with this ISA, where'd you get this? It ain't ice? From kind of methamphetamine, is it?
No.
Oh, good.
It's water. It's frozen water.
Yeah, I know, but it became slang for this fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Of course. You're right. It's the most elastic of all the properties on the planet, right? The steam, the liquid, the solid.
Yeah, you got to stay liquid.
Yeah, And the guy...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you're the guest. You're the guest, guys.
Oh, I was saying my former moniker was Black James, and then I changed to Ice like a few years ago. And then Ice became pretty controversial because everybody's like, fuck Ice. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Okay. Now,
I can't win.
Also, Ice Cube was the cat who wrote all the words for the first NWA album.
Oh, Ice Cube?
Yeah. And
FTP.
I mean, you know, that's a hard hustle because there's so many words just in one tune, man. It's hard to keep it going.
NWA?
Just any kind of thing. Rakim, he's another one of my... You know, that first album by NWA, first album by... and also the second album by Eric B. and Rakim. Incredible word stuff, but I mean, you use so much of it in a tune. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's hard to spread it out over some albums.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Especially rappers, I'm like, how do you come up with all this material, like all this lyrical content? It's just like flows and flows and flows. I'm like, I am pretty concise.
Yeah.
Writing words is the bane of my existence. Like I failed 10th grade English three times. And in college, I took English 101 4 times. But I journal and I write, scribble, but I guess like organizing my words on the paper is not something I consider that like mild torture.
Well, I want to play this headbang on a mountaintop.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is some poetry here.
Hey, turn the fucking camera off. Turn the camera off, man. Hey, man, I swear to God, turn the motherfucking camera off. Hey, turn the fucking camera off. Turn the camera off, man. Hey, man, I swear to God, turn the motherfucking camera off. Hey, turn the fucking camera off. Turn the camera off, man. Hey, man, I swear to God, turn the motherfucking camera off. Hey, turn the fucking camera off. Turn the camera off, man. And now, I swear to God, turn the motherfucking camera off. Hey, turn the fucking camera off. Turn the fucking camera off.
Alright, Moog, peace, take one.
Thank you.
For Beaver Show, Headbang on a Mountaintop, Ice.
Yeah, you know, that song was, I used to go to the Chimneys and Smoky Mountains. That's like my favorite trail. And me and my dad used to go up the face of the mountain. Like, there's no trail. Like, we just literally would climb up the face and bypass the trail. And then that mountain, all the trees burned down, you know, like a few years ago, like the mountains caught on fire. You know, that was the fire that ruined Gatlinburg, and so I was pretty pissed that my mountain was ruined.
I know about that route, I-40, going through the Smokies. Actually, there's some parts that are really dangerous.
Yeah.
Dollywood is around there somewhere.
Dollywood, yeah, she's in Sevierville.
Okay.
She's the next county over.
Okay.
next holler.
Yeah, I had some. My great grandfather was murdered for singing hymns, and when he was 101, and when he died, like there was a lawsuit, and his daughter, which is my grandmother, she won a settlement, and we had to split the money basically amongst all the siblings, and we found out we had this like Filipino side of the family, and we found out they were the Reed sisters. And the Reed sisters was like a group, singing group in Sevierville, and they were modeled after Jackson 5. But it was four sisters and a brother, and their mom made them all matching outfits, and they had a public access TV show. And if you like look up the Reed sisters on YouTube, like there's some really funny videos of them like playing. Yeah, they played all their own instruments and danced, synchronized dancing. And I was like, I found out about them when I was like 16, and I was like, finally, there's more musical people that I'm related to, because I always thought I was like the freak of the family. But yeah, they used to play in these little theaters in Sevierville. There's like all those musical theaters up there around Dollywood.
Sure. But let me understand this. Murdered for singing hymns?
Yeah, he like fell and broke his hip when he was sweeping his elevator, and he was like in the hospital recuperating. And they shut down this like mental institution that was really close, and so all the mental patients were just dispersed into regular hospitals. So he was sharing a room with somebody who was mentally unstable, and this guy beat him up when he was singing hymns, and he died from that.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I asked my grandma what song he was singing, and I forgot, but I had it written down somewhere.
I mean, I don't need to laugh, but that's intense.
And how could you get murdered when you're 101? Like, you already made it through life.
Jesus, I know, it's bizarre. You couldn't make that up.
No. But yeah, then I found out about this whole Filipino family I have, and they invited us over, and they made us like a huge feast, and we sang karaoke on Laserdisc. And that was cool.
Ice, I think you got a train behind you.
Yeah, is it too? Yeah, I'm by the tracks.
That's okay. It's okay. What do you call that? Ambiance.
Ambiance.
Right. So, something like that, learning a story like that about your grandpa, do you ever think about putting it in a song?
Yes. I wrote one song about another member of the family that I found out after another great grandmother died. We went through her stuff, found out her brother was an opera singer. He like traveled the world, and there's pictures of him dressed as like Pagliacci the clown.
Sure.
I found some letters from him where he doesn't want to be called Michael or Mel anymore. His name was Mel Lady, and he wanted to be called Michela Du. And he wanted to sort of upgrade his existence from, like, basically poor white trash to being this, like, world-traveling opera star. And I wrote a song about him, basically about him cutting ties with his southern identity to become a sort of, like, international classy man, but how he's never really going to be able to, like, you know, run from it all the way.
Like Truman Capote.
Yes.
but that's the trippy thing, the dangling duality. You don't pick where you come from, but you might have to say them the way you're going, right? I think Sly Stone once said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. But in a way, it's this weird kind of juggling act.
Exactly. I feel like, especially being a southerner, you know, it's not very... I mean, I'm like in the like underground club scene. There's not any like rednecks or hillbillies in that scene. It's like historically not southern, and or there's no country crossover. But I've been I used to sort of reject my countryness, but I've learned that it's special. So I've been recently with my new material trying to integrate more the countryness into dance music, which the only precedent I can think of that is like country dance music is like Cotton Eye Joe, and that song is ridiculous. Yeah. So I'm trying to create country dance that is actually listenable and is not cringeworthy, which is very hard.
Yeah.
But I think I've cracked the code, and it's taken me probably a decade to figure it out.
Like one time me and Perkins, this guy brings over, he did an entire 100% ska version of Tommy Rock Opera.
Oh, yeah.
That was hard to sit through, ice.
I would love to hear that.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour. September 9, 2020, Dish and Watt, Peter Show, special guest, ice. Hold tight for hour three. September 9, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
Welcome to paradise.
I was standing on the water, swimming fast.
Would you come to me?
Would you come to me?
What are you?
Watt for Peter show. Start off the third hour with Ice doing cumbia. So you like the Latin thing, huh?
I do.
There's a lot of cumbias.
Yeah. When I was in St. Louis, I lived on Calle Cherokee.
Yeah.
Which is, there's a big Mexican and other, Latin communities, right. But a lot of Mexicans there. And there's always like Cinco de Mayo Street Festival, which is actually pretty huge there. And I would play that, I played that like several years and I love singing in Spanish or trying to. I mean, I'm not trying to like, I don't know. I was just giving it a shot.
Yeah. We had Crane after that with Ballpark Figure. Mold Omen for Baltimore with M.O.D. from their M.O. series. Mystical Weapons, that's Greg Sarnier from Deerhoof with Sean Lennon doing Dirty. Pussycat and the Dirty Johnsons from England with Abuser. And finally, Nuclear Wave.
Ooh.
Ice. Yeah. Reminds me, there was a Sun Ra song called Nuclear War.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And just recently, what'd you just get done?
Recently, I was working on a collab project, which is kind of rare for me because I'm usually just working solo, or I have been for the past several years, but I was working with my friend Eric Dante. He's a rapper, and I was producing the beats and adding the light screaming in the background, and we released the song called Casting Spells, and we shot a video in Chicago, and I've been kind of working on that, four songs that we want to release together. That, yeah, it's mostly like, my friend Eric Dante has such good stage presence and everybody loves him. So, and when I'm on stage performing, I'm like busy pressing the buttons.
Yep.
And I don't have like, I can't really engage too much with the audience or I'll get lost. But so it's kind of a good duo because I can concentrate on making the music and he's handling the crowd.
He gets to be the front person, like.
Yeah.
Well, making a record.
It's like dance, dark dance music.
Yeah, when it came to making the music in the studio, what was the process? Did you come up with the beats and then it came up with words or the other way around?
Yeah, I come up with the beats and he'll write lyrics to it and then I'll record his his vocals and then I'll sprinkle them back in the song.
Now, when you're coming, since you're an instigator.
Yes.
Are you thinking of him in mind, or are you just thinking, I'm going to get some good Ice beats out here?
I'm kind of thinking this particular project, I was working on some good Ice beats, and I had him in mind at the same time. I wasn't worried about writing lyrics. It was kind of the first time I made a lot of instrumental music and let him sort of take the vocals over.
And when you're doing when you're doing instrumental music, is melody important so much with beats?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I started my whole solo project as Black James, and I was originally it was just me and my banjo, and then I started introducing pedals and tapes, and I slowly introduced electronics, and then I eventually ditched the banjo. And then I integrated the banjo back electronically, like through samples, so I started out as like a singer songwriter and I still sort of follow that formula when I do like electronic songs. Cause I feel like, techno is all like beats.
Yeah.
And there's no start and stop. It just goes on forever. But I really like dance music that has that still tells a story and it has there's emotion.
It has a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, I really am obsessed with melodies, and they get stuck in my head. Yeah, that's important to me. For like the beats can just be so hollow on their own, and that's like my I can be critical of other people's like especially like music on the dance scene.
Sure.
That is kind of hollow, and it's just beat driven, and there's not anything else going on.
You know what's funny? The slang they got for a melody, tag. They'll call it a tag, right? It's just a tag.
Yeah.
Here, I want to play.
Oh, yeah, good tag.
Yeah, good tag. I want to play Complex.
Oh, yeah.
I'm president. Over there, black clothes, long serve it on a platter in an entree. Cast a spell on the beat, hot as hell on the beat. Gon' get it with the ice cream treat. Cast a spell on the beat, hot as hell on the beat. Eric Dante with the ice cream treat. Who are they? Over there, black clothes, long hair, gotta be ice. And every Dante came to serve it on the platter in the entree. Cast a spell on the beat, hot as hell on the beat. Gon' get it with the ice cream treat. Cast a spell on the beat, hot as hell on the beat. Eric Dante with the ice cream treat.
Show last music for this edition. At the beginning of that chunk, Complex from Ice.
Ice?
But Complex.
Yeah. I didn't scare you.
But how important is the title in the song, Ice, for you?
Very important.
Is it at the beginning or is it at the end of the composition?
It's usually at the beginning because I need to name the file.
I'm just like that. And hardly anybody know. Everybody else know what? You put the name on last. And I say, I got to have it first or I got no focus.
Yeah, and if I rename it, then I can never find it. I'm like, what? What was the original name? Yeah.
Okay, then we had Tightrope featuring Shadowlight and Hero Nono, PNDC, and Housework. They're out of Serbia. Groove Fill Ratio. That's from Mammoth up here. Kind of scary with the fires. Brother Phil. Pandemic Deceleration. And after that, Abramson Kane with Death Rattle. Track one. Pat Kane, he's part of this duo in D.C. called Model Home. You aware of them?
Oh, yeah. Evan Lipson, my fiance, another bass man. He just sent me
Evan
something.
Lipson, I had him on the show.
I know, it's a small world.
And it came from Mike Baguette, he's a recent guy to Knoxville, he's from West Mass.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it is a little world that, you know, the old punk rocker guy's getting to know.
I know, it gets smaller and smaller.
I like it. But anyway, Pat, before he was in D.C., was in Buffalo, and he was blowing sax all free like a John Coltrane trip, Albert Eiler. And so this is from those days. And then finally we had Casting Spells by Ice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's a great tune, man.
Thank you.
What is the process?
Oh, my God. Listen, okay, for Casting Spells, I'm sorry. Most of my other songs are like 6-7 minutes. I can't help it.
Yeah.
But like Casting Spells, I read the KLF manual, you know, where they're like, how to make the perfect pop song. Have you ever read that?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're like, here's the formula. Don't make it longer than 3.5 minutes. I actually tried with Casting Spells. I'm like, I'm going to see if I can actually create a song under 3.5 minutes with like verse, bridge, verse. And it was like really the first time I'd actually tried to work within that formula.
Wow.
And I, you know, when I play the songs, when I record them, I'm playing them live. It's like one track into the computer. I don't really make beats in the computer ever. I'm making it all on my machines. And then I record a live track.
Right.
So
the
I play the song
more,
probably.
It's more like the tape recorder. Yeah.
Basically, yeah. And I play the song probably 20 times. And it kept being like 6 minutes, 6 minutes. And then it would be like 5:45, 5:30. And it like finally, it was so hard to get it under 4 minutes. But I finally did. And I feel like it is kind of catchy. I think it worked.
When I'm cooking, they call it reduce, and I think you're trying to boil out the water, right? You make the gravy.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reduction.
Yeah, the reduction.
The mirepoix.
I think a chemist would say distillation, the distilling.
Yes.
I'm
usually just like, let's make this operatic, and, you know, it could be an hour and 22 minutes. But
where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram, Underwater Waterhead. I'm on
is there an ICE website?
There's not an ICE website, but I'm like all over the internet. But Twitter is ICE Waterhead. I have a Bandcamp that is Black James.
Okay.
Bandcamp.com/Black James, and that's where all my albums are.
Okay, that's good. Cause I respect the Bandcamp people big time. But all those other pads, they might go underwater, and then you won't have any presence. That's why I ask about a website.
Yeah, I probably should make one day. I'm kind of lazy about all that.
I don't mean to come on like some kind of a whip cracker or something. Look, next plan.
Next plan, I plan on releasing my 6th album in 2021 in the spring. It's going to be my hillbilly trance album that I've been thinking about how to make and trying to figure out how to make for probably a decade, and it's going to be in 432 hertz, which is unheard of.
You know, with the bass guitar, 432 is kind of an ugly frequency. We usually put a canyon there.
A
canyon, a dip, a cavern, a valley. Yeah, because it's this it can be kind of a ooh. But in other music, I know, especially when you're trying to conk, it's supposed to like touch a part of your body. That's good.
Yeah. I'm getting all new agey.
No, that's okay. It's been a big honor to have you aboard, Ice. When you come out with this hillbilly trance without the Oxycontin thing, can you come back on the radio show and talk about it?
Absolutely, I would love to.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, very, very welcome, very welcome. People, it's been the September 9th, 2020 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.